If you weren't here last week, I preached a message about what the Bible says about the Bible. I wanted you to hear that message because everything else in the following weeks is going to be based on that. Really, everything we do every week is based on what the Bible says, what it is. And today I wanted to deal with something that is can be a polarizing topic in our culture, but it is the idea of gender issues. And when I title it that way, I am thinking of everything within that LGBTQ plus community. Many other things that can be classified in that. But what I want to do today, well, let me tell you just a quick story before I get into that. I think it was Christmas of 2024. Tracy and I had the occasion to be at a concert at a church up in Alpharetta, an Episcopal church, and the concert was the Atlanta Gay Men's Choir. I can tell you why we were there if you want to know. If not, it's not anybody's business, but I don't mind telling you, but I'm not going to talk about it here much. Or in the pulpit. But the choir, we were there. They're a very good choir. But I thought maybe it would just be Christmas music, but it was not. And it was in an Episcopal church. That was a beautiful church. Artwork all through the church. A lot of things I would kind of like to emulate in the building and all of that, if we could ever do that. But it broke my heart for a couple of reasons. One, there was a church that was, I don't mean just trying to love this gay community and share the gospel with them. They were endorsing that sin in their lives and encouraging it. That broke my heart. And these men that were there, that are good men, but they don't know the truth. And the more I thought about it, I left there wondering what in the world we can do to try to reach them. And I've talked with a few people about that over the last couple of years, really, and there's not much going on to reach out into that community. What I want to do today with that kind of broken heart is tell you the truth, what the Bible says about all of this, where we as believers, not because our church stands here, but because the Bible is God's Word and this is what God has said, not our decisions and our preferences, but this is what God has said. And I want to talk to you about having a heart to reach everybody with the gospel of Christ. So, in this passage in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 8, I'm sorry, verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Let's go to Him in prayer this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we love what You've given us in it. And we love that it is alive, and that when we read it, You are in it and in us. Father, open it up to us today by Your Spirit. In Your name we pray. Amen. Well, the first slide that I've got here for you this morning, I want us to see what the Bible says. And Paul kind of nailed it there in the end of verse 9. Do not be deceived. One of the problems that we face in the world today is that we hear much more from the world than we do from God's Word. And there are so many that keep hearing it from the world, whatever the issue is, whether it is this type of issue or it is about the nation of Israel or it is about any other sin that is out there. Israel is not a sin, but we hear that they're always in the wrong and they need to be driven out of their land. That is very much wrong too. Israel belongs where they are, but that's a sermon for another day. But what we hear in the news, what we hear in schools, what our kids hear in college, oftentimes doesn't have anything to do with the truth. And not the truth that is found in God's Word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In that, he means I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. I dealt with it a little bit last week about why people have said to me, don't you think it's arrogant to believe that you're the only ones that have it right? And the answer I've given is no, because we didn't write our doctrine. We didn't make this up. It's not my ideas. It is what the Bible says. Now, with that said, sometimes we get it wrong. Okay, sometimes especially in our response to people. But there are some scriptures I've got listed right there, and I'm going to read those for you. It says, Leviticus 18:22. And this is in the statutory law, the law that would be used in the legal system today, that type of law that God gave. You are not to sleep with a man as with a woman. It is detestable. Romans 1:26 and 27 says, for this reason, God delivered them over to disgraceful passions. Their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones, and the men in the same way also left the natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Man committing shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty for their errors. And one of the issues we hear the most about today is that of someone saying, I was born a boy, but I should have been a girl, or I was born a girl and I should have been a boy. If you're an adult, you've got a right to do what you want to. A lot of this is coming from children in grade school. And when people encourage that in children, to me, that ought to be, jail at the minimum for those kinds of things. But here's what God says about gender. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. God gave two genders, male and female. And that's it. The other stuff is made up. I'm not saying any of this. Please understand, I'm not saying any of this to be condescending to anyone. I don't want that. I don't want someone to be condescending to me about any issue, and we should never be condescending to anybody about any sin that they're in. We tell them the truth, and we tell them that in love. But here's the truth is that this is a sin. This is, Scripture is clear that this is sin, no matter what the culture says. And here's what I want us to see about that today. We're not free to choose our gender. God created us. We were not made this way, as far as I've heard many people in these lifestyles say, well, God made me this way. No, He did not. That would be the same as someone saying, well, God made me an alcoholic, or God made me a drug addict, or God made me a whatever. He did not. I hear the term love is all that matters. Yes, that's true, but love doesn't harm the other or lead them away from God. If you need more definition on that idea of love there, look at 1 Corinthians 13. And here's the truth that we see when we read 1 Corinthians 6. Any sexual relationship outside of biblical marriage is sin. It's against the will and the design of God. So like I said, I don't say this to condemn anyone. All of us are sinners. None of us have a right to look down our nose at anyone. The difference in the saved and lost is that I have the grace of God in me that has saved me, and I'm not who I used to be. And that's what Paul means when he says, such were some of you. You were involved in this, but you are saved. Now, why is this sin? The best reason I can give you why anything is called sin is that God didn't design you that way. God is the designer and He's the creator. If you've ever worked with probably a lot of architects in any field, but years ago I worked with a few landscape architects. And the ones that I was working with were not the brightest in the world. They were not paying attention when they drew the designs up. And one of them had the building and the flower bed, and then the trees and shrubs. They had it mixed up. And so we learned very quickly, just ignore that and put it where it needed to go. Sometimes designers are not that great, but God is perfect. And God designed us for certain things. He did not design us for sin. That's why our bodies hurt all the time. That's why we get older and more tired, and all these things happen to us, and we stay sick, and all these things is because we live in a world that is infected with sin. We're infected with it, and it does its work in us. When we abuse anything, whether it's alcohol or drugs or anything, our bodies weren't designed for that. I've heard people say, well, I know I've been an alcoholic all my life, and I've got cirrhosis of the liver. Why did God do this to me? And the answer is, I don't say it like this usually, but God didn't. You did that to you. You know, that's not I say that with a lot more grace than I do right here, but we weren't designed for these things. I saw a man one time, a friend of my dad's. I was with him. I was in my late teens. We stopped by this man's house, and he had a Cadillac there in the yard. He had cows and some animals, and I noticed the trunk was up on this Cadillac sedan, and this would have been in the mid-80s, I guess, and there was hay all in the straw in the carpet on this trunk. And I thought, well, his wife must have picked up a bale of hay for something, and now he's going to vacuum it out for her. He was going out to feed cows, and he threw about 4 bales of hay in that trunk. And I look around, and there's 2 or 3 beat-up old work trucks sitting there that are running. And I think I was about 17, and my 17-year-old mouth said, are you really going to deliver that hay in that Cadillac? He said, yeah, it's just right out there. I didn't say any more, and I said something to my dad when we were leaving, and he said, well, it's his Cadillac. I said, yeah, it is. But it's not designed. I wanted to grab the man and say, it's not made for that. You've got trucks over here that are made for that. Don't put hay in a nice car. I came from a family where my mom kept her cars spotless and clean all the time, and I'm just thinking, you know, she would, if I'd thrown a bale of hay in the back of my mom's car, I wouldn't be here today. It would have been a terrible thing. We're not designed for that. I have a hard time when I have looked at trucks, and I've looked in my size truck that I need, but every now and then you see the half-ton or the three-quarter tons and one-ton trucks, and I look at the price tag on these things. They are designed to be on a job site, but they cost over $100,000. And I say, I would never take that thing on a job site if I bought it. Even though that's what it's made for, because it's going to get scratched up and hit and dented and all of that. That's what it's made for, but man, you and I were made for something better. And here's what I want you to see in this next slide here. There we go. Well, I've just got to be patient with this thing. Sin is anything outside of God's design for us. But here's the next thing. People make mistakes. God does not. Do you realize that? God has never made a mistake. God has never said, oops, shouldn't have done that. God does not make mistakes. So, Deuteronomy 32:4, it's in the song of Moses. He said, his work, or the rock, God the rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are just. This is the God that we serve. He is absolute perfection. So what that tells me is that you were not a mistake. God wouldn't, you know, say, well, when God made me, he left out that thing that gives me hair when I got over 40 years old. He made a mistake. No, he didn't make a mistake. God likes bald people too, I guess. God didn't make mistakes. God does not make a mistake. So when someone comes to us and says, I was born one gender and I should have been another, we can't start with the idea that God made a mistake. There's help that needs to, that person needs help. I don't mean that in any way condescending, but in any way, God didn't make a mistake. That means that none of you are a mistake that God made. If you're looking at your life and saying, you know, I should have been this, I should have been that, God didn't make a mistake. You are not a mistake. You are handmade, handcrafted by God. They say you can tell a good carpenter when they know how to cover up the mistakes they made, where nobody else sees it. That's true. But God doesn't make any mistakes. God makes none. It is sin because this is not God's design. Now, I want you to understand this doesn't mean that we're okay as we are. God knows you and loves you in spite of who we are. He wants to bring us back into His family. If you don't know Him, He wants to bring you into His family. He wants to transform you into His image. God points out sin in our lives so that, not so that He can beat us up over it, so that He can say, this is broken. I can fix this. It's okay to not be okay. It's not okay to stay that way. We come to God and God does the fixing and God does the changing. Now, in this next slide, pay attention very closely. Tom, if you'll go to the next one for me, there we go. The question there, do all gay people go to hell? The answer is no, by the way. When I was on staff at another church, I went with a member of that church. We went out on visitation one night, and it was a mother and a 14-year-old daughter, a single mom, 14-year-old daughter that had visited the church. And we were there talking with the mother. The 14-year-old was in the floor doing her homework there in the living room, listening to what we were saying and engaging a little bit. But as we talked with them, we asked the question, do you have any questions about the church? And this 14-year-old piped up and she said, what do you believe about gay people? Before I could speak, the man I was with, they're all going to hell. This is wrong. You know, this is sin. You can't be a part of any of that. And jumped down this girl's throat. And I tried to walk it back without throwing him out the door. And I tried to step in and soften that some. But it was too late. That girl was not listening to anything we said after that. And I told him on the way home, the Bible doesn't say that. Yes, it does. 1 Corinthians 6, it says it. I said, no, it doesn't. Yeah, it does. I said, look, let me read this list to you again because it's a long list. It's a long list of sins. There in verse 9, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people. That doesn't mean homosexuality. That means pornography. That means any sexual immorality. Whatever falls under that umbrella. Idolaters. But also adulterers. I haven't had many people heard of many people looking at an adulterer and say, you're going to hell. They try to help them. Males who have sex with males. In this phrasing in my Bible, there are as a word that is mixed in with this. And it's the word in King James and a few others that say effeminate and homosexuals. The effeminate word there is a word that means that it was children who were temple prostitutes, young boys who were temple prostitutes in this culture. And then any other thing that goes along with this. But he goes on in verse 10, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people. If because of this verse, all gay people go to hell, everybody that has ever driven in Georgia traffic is going to hell because we've yelled at somebody somewhere. Okay, that's just the facts of this. Swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Here's the issue. Those who engage in these things and stay in these things, those who may want to come to Christ and say, but I'm not changing any of this. The rich young ruler came to Christ. What do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus told him. And he didn't bargain. He walked away sorrowful. We want to bargain today. Well, I'm going to keep doing this. No. If you're going to come to Christ, you're going to come to Christ. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have conquered every sin in your life. But when you come to him, you say, Lord, I'm here, every part of me. And what David says so many times in the Psalms, Lord, search me and know my heart. Show me what is wrong in me. Convict me of that. Cleanse me of that. That's the attitude of a believer in Christ. We can be forgiven and freed from any and every sin. And Paul and others brought the gospel to this community. Such were some of you. But you were washed. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Paul didn't walk into a community and say, no, I'm going to turn around. We need to be over here, not here. Someone asked me in the first church I pastored down in a little small area of South Georgia, how do I feel about black people in the church? And I said, look, I'm going to recruit everybody. I'm not going to try to have somebody of a certain race in the church. I'm not going to go out and try to find somebody that, because we need somebody of a different color in the church. But every door I knock on, regardless of who answers that, needs to know Jesus. No matter who that is. A friend of mine has a son that is a great pastor in his own right. He was a youth pastor at the time, but he'd gotten to be very well known and a good reputation as a youth pastor, and a church in Atlanta contacted him and wanted him to come talk with him about being their pastor, and it was a church near Piedmont Park. As he drove into that community, there were rainbow flags on most of the mailboxes or in the yards. It was obvious that it was a very liberal community. And as he sat down with this search committee, they asked him a lot of questions, and he could tell things weren't going quite the way they wanted it, or he would really want it to go. And they said, do you have any questions? His question was, I noticed all of these flags. What are you willing to do to reach the gay community around you? This was a church that was dying, not a church that was thriving. It was dying. It was older members in a community that had changed on them, and they were kind of angry about it. What are you willing to do to reach these people? And they said, nothing. Not one thing. He said, well, we're not going to be compatible. Thank y'all for your time. And he left. What are you willing to do to befriend somebody that doesn't know Jesus, regardless of who they are? A man dressed up as a woman, women dressed like men, whatever the thing may be. Somebody was telling me not long ago that there's a lady he works with that is gay, and he said, tried to talk to her, and she starts yelling. And it's just a very immediate defensive thing right there. Wall that goes up, and it's not going to hear the truth. But are you willing to make friends with somebody to be able to sit down with them and share the truth with them? We are not going to, when I say this community, I'm talking about the gay community. We're not going to reach them by saying, y'all come to our harvest day. We're not going to reach them, certainly not by condemning them, by not having anything to do with them. When someone has a drug addiction, we embrace that person and we bring them the best we can. We bring them to a rehab. We do everything we can to help them. But when somebody offends us, we can push back and say, I don't want anything to do with you. But God put us here so that we can be light in this world, so that we can reach anybody and everybody. I was reading yesterday, I've been in my morning devotions, I've been reading. Read 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st Kings. I'm in 2nd Kings, and it's been dealing with Elisha in that time of his ministry. And yesterday morning, I just thought, Lord, why isn't there a prophet of God in the world today that can stand up like Elisha did? The kings that were enemies of Israel came to him for healing, and they you know, the Naaman, the general that was in charge of the army in Aram, one of their greatest enemies, came to him and wanted him to heal him, and he became a believer in God when he took dirt with him, two wagon loads of dirt with him when he left, because he had been healed and he wanted to be able to worship God on godly soil, God's soil, wherever he went. Where is that person? And God very quickly said to me, the church. You and I are that person. I'm not known nationally. I'm never going to be known nationally, not for anything good. But I'm never going to be known nationally. But where I am known, I'm that prophet of God, that is to let everybody around me know that there is a God here. There is a God in me. You are that prophet of God everywhere you go. Not to tell the future, not to speak new revelations from God, but to speak His word that He's given us in love and in truth. To tell everybody, if we love somebody, I often use the illustration, you know, I love the children that are here. I love them to death. I am not going to let them go play in the street. No, you know, we'll say, well, I love them. No, they're just, aren't they so cute? No, that's not cute. That's stupid. Get out of the street. Like what I heard Vody Bauckham say, I've heard it several times, but we've got really too many parents that say, and grandparents and everybody else, isn't that child so cute? And he said, no, they're not an angel. They're a viper in a diaper. He said, and God makes them so small so they won't kill you. And God makes them so cute so you won't kill them. There is sin in that child. If we love our children, if we love our friends, if we love the people around us, we will say, stop it. Because every sin, once it puts down roots in you, is working to destroy you. Everyone. But God comes in and kills all of that down to the roots. His goal for everyone is redemption. For you to be bought back out of that sin, freed from it, and knowing Him as your Father, your Lord and your Savior, and your Father that brings you into His house, and you work and live and dwell with Him. We've got an incredible God. And regardless of where there is error around us, where there is error in me, I need to hear the truth. Where there is error in others, a lie being told to others, we need to hear the truth and do so in love. Some of us can be compassionate and love and listen and listen and listen, and some of us are, the Bob Newhart School of Counseling, stop it. Just cut it out. Stop it. Whatever it is, but whatever it is, God's bringing that person to you. Be used by God in their life. I don't know who you're maybe thinking of in this. Maybe some kids at school, maybe family, maybe any number of people. Whoever God is laying on your heart, I want you to do two things. Pray for them and love them. Three things. Love them enough to tell them about Jesus. And it may take a little time of loving them to break those barriers down. But as God gives you the opportunity, love them enough to tell them about Jesus. He will clean and He will deal with all that other stuff. Maybe you don't know Christ. You want to know Him today. Asking Him turning, as I said earlier, turning away from sin, turning to Him. Lord, save me. And He will. It's not the words, it's your intention. It's not being baptized, it's what that symbolizes. If you don't know Christ, come to Christ today. Come talk with me and let me help you. Grab somebody beside you and let them help you. Maybe there's somebody that you need to come and pray for today. We talked about this with gender issues, but there is every other sin lies right in there with this. Not one sin is greater than another. There's somebody you're praying for. Come pray for them today. Pray that God will give you the words to speak to them and be used by God. Whatever it is God's leading you to do today, I want you to stand with me. Stephanie's going to come lead us in a song right after we pray. And let's pray. Father, there's not a soul in this world that you don't love. There's no one here that you didn't create and is not made in your image. Father, we're separated from you by sin. We need you. So Lord, I pray that you use us to be the people in this world that speak and let the world around us know that there's a God here that loves them. There's a better way. Father, have your way during this time of invitation. We'll give you praise and thanks and glory. In your name we pray. Amen.